For excellent is the mighty name of Yahweh. As we enter into your presence, the spades of our precious King, we do bow down before you on this Shabbat, this time, this day that you, my precious Abba, have set it apart, that we may cease from all of our labor, our laborious activities, that we will cause our minds and our loves to meditate upon you constantly, consistently. In time of rest, in solitude, with our precious Abba, we bless you for this time, this set apart day, for the activities of the kingdom. We thank you. And as we bow, we do acknowledge you in all things. We do esteem you. We do exalt and lift you up, precious Yahweh. For your name is excellent, and the lips of your call out elect according to your purpose and your will. For we cry out like Israel, when you came down into Egypt and delivered them from the task of the taskmasters. And so we cry out unto you for the mighty power of your deliverance, for your strength to abide in us and upon us. We pray, Abba, that you help us this day, for we are a people in need of your help and your strength. We do need the mind of HaMashiach. In all things he pleases you. We want that to be the burning desire of our love, to please you, to worship you, to bless you, Yahweh. So help us all this day. Strengthen us all, your people, that are scattered around the world in many nations. Israel, the elect. We pray that you bless them and strengthen them. The men of your purpose, the daughters of Zion, you have elected and called and established your people in the strength and the power of your truth. We know that your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. Your Torah is the truth. So bless our brothers and sisters. Give them strength, I pray. Lift the body today, Yahweh. Our precious Abba, help us today. Encourage every heart. Those that are listening by the live stream today, wherever they're listening, we pray that you bless them and that the word, the clarity of your truth will burn like an auger in their souls, as you will do it in the house here today. We ask that your anointing on this worship today, as we sing and esteem you, as we exalt you, that every chorus and every song will be to bless you and to strengthen you, Abba. And that we will know that you are pleased and that you are dwelling in the midst of Israel. So as we worship you in songs, in prayer, with our hands lifted, our voice crying out unto you, we ask you to be intrigued, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. We want you to be intrigued. We thank you today. We ask you to touch your manservant today as he speaks. Let it be with great clarity and with the Shema, the understanding, that the minds and the hearts will be open to know and to understand all things as you have purposed us to understand. We will bless you this day. We will sing praises unto your name. We will honor you for all things. And all the people of your we cried, hallelujah way. Hallelujah way. Hallelujah way. Come on, lift your hands. Lift your hands to Yahweh and bless you.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. As we bow here in your Beya today, our Abba, we say hallelujah, word. The highest esteeming of your personal name. For you are the Most High. You are the Almighty Yah. There is none other beside you. And as you have chosen and elected a simple people, a people out of the earth, you have caused this tree to grasp those of every ethnicity and race upon the face of the earth. They may become sons of Yahweh and daughters birthed by the Ruah of Almighty Yahweh. You have given us the tree of life because HaMashiach came and declared that he came to give us life, to give that more abundantly. We can eat from this living Torah revelation. So we bless you today. We pray for those that are listening today in the homes, those that are gathered, Brother Nathan or whomever. We pray for them as they gather, as they listen. We pray this message today, this word, this living hope, this lively word today, will be a strength unto the body, and that everyone that hears will be strengthened in their resolve to press on for the sake of the kingdom. We thank you for HaMashiach. We bless you for the presence and the power of HaKodash, Ruah, the power of your anointing. For you declare, where there are two or three gathered in your name, we come in the name of Yahweh Almighty. There shall you always be in the midst of them. So we trust your truth, your immutability, that you cannot lie. You said it. We believe it. And we will intrigue you today as you intrigue us with an awareness and an opening of your truth. We bless you for all things this day. In the mighty name of Yahshua, the Lamb of Israel, we thank you, we praise you for all things. And all of his people cried, hallelujah, way. Hallelujah, way. Look to your neighbor and say to them, Shabbat Shalom. May Yahweh bless your hearing today. Yahweh blesses you all. You may be seated. We do bless and thank him for all things. What a wonderful time. As Yahweh began to open up the purity of his truth, he's revealed unto the house of Israel. He does not reveal it unto every people of the world. He reveals his word as HaMashiach was. He was sent only to the lost house of Israel. Yahweh meant for them to know him. Every people is not going to receive his truth, because he does not intend for them to know it. I know what we have had. We have had this wholesaling and this snake oil approach that everyone is selling something about the mighty Creator. And if you will carefully examine their doctrines, they will sell certain aspects concerning him, and that is appeasing to the populace or the people that they deal with. So you have this diversity and this diversity of doctrines and teachings, and not any of them actually bring man unto the emphatic power of truth, that he is free, he is liberated to worship, to serve Yahweh. He is free from the bondage and the power of sin, that he transgress willingly the Torah of Yahweh. And we have this pseudo snake oil approach that these religious hirelings and charlatans or selling certain aspects and causing the multitude, their eyes to be blind, from the fullness of his counsel, Shaul said unto the house, I have declared unto you the whole counsel, the entire counsel of Almighty Yahweh. And this is the generation of pseudo cryptic type doctrines that those that are of that doctrinal seed will understand the cryptics of that doctrine. They cannot comprehend unless they have the same spirit. It has to be encrypted. It has to be made known to them that they may receive. I began the message on last week, the true born again experience and what it consists of. And I want to continue with this message on this week, born of Yahweh, that we may understand what Scripture says. We are a lost people. And the most perplexing thing is that we don't realize how far our mind, our conscience is removed from Yahweh. When a man minds earthly and sensual things, he does not possess the conscience of Yahweh. Shaul commanded, it is an imperative. Let, permit, the same mind that was in Hamashiach be in us as well. We must have that same character, the same mind, purpose, will, same desire, same motive, and the same intent. It must be that way. We are a people that we do not like critiquing ourselves. When one begins to critique oneself, it is a judgment. They are judging themselves. And we do not particularly care for judgments. We do not want our attributes or our habits to be corrected according to Torah. We do not want to be instructed in the correct disciplines according to Torah. We want to allow this corrupt mindset that has been shaped by some form of religion, and we all have been birthed unto that Jezebel. We have all drank from her breasts. We have all drank the wines of her wickedness. We have gone astray from truth and found ourselves under every kind of bay tree of harlotry you can find. We did not have the consistency of the stableness that the Word gives us. It is one thing about the Word of Yahweh. It will never fail. It endures forever. It is everlasting. There is no false things predicated or based upon a deception from Yahweh's heart based in Scripture. Now it may, and we may find the pinsmanship of crude men, that they have altered certain aspects. But the power of this living Torah has not been altered at all. It is precise. And it is evident, if we are the true seed of Israel, that it is written in the Lev of the house called elected and chosen of Almighty Yahweh. And this testimony and this living witness of Torah and Hamashiach, it gives us this birth. It gives us this euphoric that comes alive, that stimulates us, and keep us on the path that Yahweh intends for us to walk upon. Now, not the path that deceives us. Not being drawn by our flesh and lured away by our own corrupt desires. The Torah never does that. It never removes us consciously, mentally, physically, spiritually, from the presence of Yahweh. It never does that. It never. Because Yahweh, every word that He speaks is pure. And we saw the power of the living word in a body of clay. You can make Hamashiach out to what you want Him to be. He was the Son of Yahweh.
And we see the power of that living word express in that visible testimony. And it is vital that we understand the beauty of that testimony. Israel is identified. Those that are born of Yahweh are identified according to Scripture. And it cannot be any other way. It is not going to come by this pseudo snake oil approach. There's one thing about those that sells all kinds of remedies for every ailment or every pain there is. Many times they would actually, because of the, it was more or less of a psychological changing of the thinking of one that actually caused them to believe in their snake oils. And they all saw the same thing, but my snake oil was better than yours. And many times it will be maybe a little oil, a little turpentine, and a little sugar, simply to just bemuse the people. They actually think they're getting something. Now that is what the snake oil approach is doing in this wholesaling of this pseudo-type carnal religion of being born again. It is not the birth of Yahweh. They are not born of Almighty Yahweh at all. Scripture must show us the processes or the way that this thing is worked out. It must show us what it produces. It must show us the end results of those that are born of Yahweh. The process of being born. What is being born of Yahweh? It has to be a birth. And Scripture must identify that. I want to be God in Scripture. And I do want to defined one word, and that is born. I want to express to you the Hebraic meaning, and in text how it is used to denote in its expression or enunciation. It has a variable meaning, brothers and sisters. That's just like if I said two. Which one? What two? Yahweh was precise in this language and the people that he spoke to. They had no reason to err. Is every word of Yahweh precise? There is no confusion. Is he the author of confusion? He does not confuse us. Will words confuse us? Surely they will. We can speak words and we are actually confused. Our minds are actually bogged down. We can't turn left or right because we are that confused. And so Yahweh doesn't speak anything to Israel to confuse them. What loving avat, Father. Think about this, you that are parents. You that have sons. Will you literally confuse your children in their upbringing? You don't confuse them. You are precise. You are exact in what you teach them. You are straightforward. And you teach them things that will create a great strength in them. No parent, not any parent in here has taught, or you all have taught your children to do wrong. Do you teach your children to do wrong? But there's almost an inherent type spirit in them to do wrong. Hallelujah. And so no parent or parents teach their children to do wrong. And so if Yahweh is our Abba, will he teach us to do wrong? He teaches us to do right. And everything that he teaches us, it is pure. It is precise. And it is exact. Because he talks to a people. Now this pseudo-type doctrine, it speaks to everything and everyone. Yahweh never did that. He did not go down to the Philistines and talk to them. He did not go down to the Jebusites. And I know what many will say, that Hamashiach has opened this broad gate. No, it was never that way. Even those that were of the Gentiles, when they went into Jerusalem and they did according to the Torah, they were just as those that were birth of that Ruah. And they received the same blessings and the heritage. He speaks to his house. I want to begin in Yochanan. First Yochanan, First John, chapter 3. And I want to begin at verse 4 for the purpose of expedience. I do want to define this born of this birth of Yahweh, this seed that Yahweh puts in to his people. It says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. It says, now whosoever commits sin, those that actually have a lifestyle that is repulsive, that is of disdain, hatred toward the Torah, whosoever commits sin, violate Torah. Now the sin is simply this. It tells us, for sin, it tells us right here, for sin is the transgression of the Torah. Well, what is the sin? When one rejects Torah, now what we have learned in this pseudo-type wholesaling of religion and born-again experience that have taught us we reject Torah, we reject the Shabbat, we reject the name of Yahweh, we reject the principles of His mitzvahs. And so this has been ingrained in the mindset of a generation that is actually teaching and espousing doctrines of devils. These are doctrines of demonic powers and forces out of the pit of darkness. Because there is a despising and a hatred against Yahweh. That's why our natural carnal mind, it is enmity, it is a hatred for the Torah, for the laws, for the principles of Yahweh. Because it represents Him. What Yahweh speaks represents Him. And everything He says represents His kingdom authority, His sovereign power. And it's one thing about this nature of this Adamic nature that rose up against Yahweh to defy Him. Because it wanted to know what was good and evil. It wanted to know what knowledge was best and what knowledge was to be rejected. And yet it uses both knowledge. The knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil. And when Yahweh speaks, He speaks because of His authority, His place. And what He says is permanent. What He says has an everlasting a consequence upon us. Whether we obey it or whether we disobey it. So when one practices this form of defying the Torah to violate it, we know that that one is practicing a devious practice. We've all practiced that. But one is walking in defiance of Yahweh, and this religious sector today, it wholesales it. Well, you don't have to keep the Shabbat lies from the dungeons of darkness. The Shabbat is Yahweh's day that He solidified His whole creation, and He rested there. When a man says he loves Him, and he fears the encroachment of the world more than keeping Yahweh's truth, he is a liar. I don't care who the man is, who the woman is, she is a pervert of hell. When one comes to truth, to the knowledge, you don't reject it, you don't harden your heart. But when one comes to that truth and they reject it, they're not of Yahweh's seed. I will read. He says in verse 5 of the same chapter. And you know that He, listen now carefully. You know that He, the manifest word of Yahweh, He was manifest to take away our sins. And in Him, HaMashiach, there is no sins at all. There is no sin. There is no sin, singular. He was manifested, HaMashiach, to take away our sins because we were transgressors of the Torah. Man could have not known what sin is and what it was unless there was a law given to establish some form of justice. And Yahweh gave us a Torah to establish a form of justice. Because if He had not done that and judged us according to that, then He would have judged us unjustly. You must have some Torah in order to bring about the righteous mitzvahs. You must. And if you do not have some form of Torah or law, you cannot have a righteous judgment. And so He gave us, Yisrael, a righteous Torah. He went beyond it being inscribed on stones with pen. He wrote it in the house of Israel. He put it in the inward part. That you can remember it. That you will know that it is there. And what HaMashiach came is to give life and power to the birth and to cause it to be rebirthed. It is almost like someone going through a tremendous disheartened experience in life. In the natural sense. They feel like their failures have bound them. They have no energetic desire, no purpose in life. And all of a sudden, there's some kind of epiphany, some religious or some kind of transforming experience they have. And their whole lives are transformed. Do you all understand what I'm saying? And then they will tell you it's almost like a rebirth. I'm a new person. But yet, in the identity, it's the same person. And you will begin to see when a person experiences something like that, their physical countenance, their physical being changes. You never seen that? Well, I have. And I've heard people talk like that. And that is what Yahweh has done with this rebirth or this birth in man. It is not by some giggly feeling or emotion. It's something that solidifies and brings us closer to Him when His birth. You mothers that have birth babies, you daddies, when the child comes, it makes no difference whether it's a boy or a girl, does it? There's something that just opens up. I've never experienced that, but I'm wise enough to understand that's how it goes. The excitement of that life, it does something. It creates something in you, a new birth. Your logic, your thinking began to transform. It began to change. Even drunkards, when their children are born, they say, well, I'm going to have to stop drinking. The mother said, well, I'm going to have to stop doing this. I can't do that no more. I want to bring this one upright. I want to teach them the proper things. You mothers, you all have experienced that. You avats, you come on, you all have experienced that. Your whole conscience and your whole thought changes. Because you want to bring them in the proper perspective. Do you not understand that when there is a birth, when we are born of Yahweh, our whole identity changes? It changes. We are not the same. We don't perform the same. Our attitude is not the same. We are not willfully sinning against Yahweh. This is a generation that sins willfully. That's why there is no offering or no sacrifice that remains for it. It does things willfully. When you come to knowledge of truth, it makes you free because you have the weaponry or the power to resist that thing. There are people with just constitutions that are written in their own hearts that there are things that they will not do. It is based upon principles that they have learned. It's based upon things of strength that they have incorporated in their lives. And they have a strong resolve. That is what the birth of Yahweh gives us. It gives us a profoundly strong resolve. To do what? To please Him. To bless Him. To worship Him. To obey Him. To do all things to please Him. So we know that HaMashiach was manifested to take away our transgressing. What are our sins? Continuously doing the same things over and over. Do you not find yourself continuously doing the same things over and over? All of your hardships come from the same repetitiveness that you continue to do the same thing. So that's why He was manifested, to take away our sins. Continuously doing the same things over and over. An adulterous man, he commits adultery over and over. A man that is covetous, his heart is covetous over and over. So that is why He was manifested. Take away that corrupt thing out of us and cause life to rise in the seed that had been sown. He says, whosoever abides or lives, have residency in Him, HaMashiach, there is no practicing, there is no willingness to sin. They sin not. Now what is sin? It is a transgression of the Torah. Well, what is the transgression of the Torah? It's when one violates the Torah. Now you don't violate the Torah. Did Yahshua violate the Torah? He violated the written laws of men, but He did not violate the Torah. He did not defy what Yahweh had spoken and proclaimed by Moshe and the mouths of the prophets that substantiated his Torah. He did not do that. And that is where the Tanakh comes into place, because it is the written experience of those that are Torah believers and observers and those that reject Torah. And HaMashiach comes, he gives us the light of that, those that receive the profound truth of Yahweh and those that reject it. Those that receive it, they are lively stones. They have something in them that has been rebirthed and it brings them alive. So we must be born of Yahweh. We've been born of all kinds of things. All kinds of corrupt experiences. We allow that to be the strength of our love. We must be born of Yahweh. And there's only one way. You're going to be born of Yahweh. And it's not going to come by some pseudoism. It's not going to come by some sorceryism. It's going to come by what the word of Yahweh says. It must be. Now, I want you all to challenge me and judge me. Please do that. And see whether I speak from Scripture. Was it by some torted imagination of some twisted-minded man? Or whether I'm led by the Ruach of Yahweh? And if I'm the latter, then it behooves you to hear. You must be like the Bereans to hear what I say. And then you challenge the accuracy of it by going to Scripture. And studying to see whether it is certain. See whether it's there. We're such a gullible people because we're so lazy in our minds. We don't exercise them. No one really likes to exercise physically. I don't like to exercise. But once I began to do it, I enjoy doing it. But as far as sweating and doing that, I don't like to do it. I don't like sleeping. If I didn't have to sleep, I would never sleep. If I didn't have to take a bath, I would never take one. Just being honest with you. I don't like sleeping. I don't like to take a bath. I don't like to exercise. I know you think it in the natural kind of sense. Well, I like it. You don't hear what I'm saying, though. What I'm saying, that there are things that are such a waste of time to me. Whereby that time could be utilized for things that are much more valuable as far as I'm concerned. So I speak in an allegory form. Not literally, I bathe, all right? But I speak in an allegory. Because we don't exercise this thing. Because we never stress it to its limitations. We take things, we hear them, we say, I'm not that way. Well, we're that way. Why? Because you don't exercise your emunah, your faith. You're not bathed and washed in the living water of Yahweh. The natural water has, I'd rather be bathed in that water and smell like a musk ox. We need the living water. I use those allegories to show you that if I could just spend my day in this, it is more valuable than bathing or sleeping. I've never liked sleeping. I sleep because my physical being requires me to do that. But as far if it was not required, I would never sleep. Never. Didn't have to take a bath and have that sense of refreshing, I would never take a bath. Hallelujah. Way. Now we know in the natural sense that if I don't bathe, I will smell horrible, right? Do you not know in the Ruah of the spiritual sense, if you not bathe in this truth daily, you will smell horrible? We exercise ourselves under every kind of filth, don't we? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Our minds are inundated and coarse with every kind of vile thing there is imaginable. And within us, our inward parts, we are filled with such vile odors. And we never think about bathing in the living word, do we? We don't dip ourselves in this. We dip ourselves in the continuous cesspool of filth and wickedness. And that's why our conscience is never to the point whereby the pure word of Yahweh has a pure place to reside. Why? Because to the pure, all things are pure. We must be born of Yahweh. One way and only one way alone to be born of Yahweh. Only one way. Not born of man. What if I bring forth a seed, it is the birth of that sperma. That zirah. But what is born of Yahweh, it is the same process. So he gives man this process of being born. When a new life of a son comes forth, the daddy sees the identity of him and his son. And it creates something in him like nothing else. Sure does. It does. He sees his identity. He sees his ways and his actions. He sees his correction in his sons. And he's going to teach his son, he's going to teach his child his correction. That's what he will do. So whoever lives in HaMashiach, there is not a purpose in their life to just disobey Yahweh. They don't just sin. Now, I know what we've been taught, sin. I've taught it myself. One smoke a cigarette, in itself, that is not a sin. Smoking a cigarette is not a sin. It will kill you. It will destroy you. And it is a filthy thing. Now, if you destroy the bed of Yahweh, he's going to destroy you. You know better than to do that. Sin is what Scripture says it is. See, these are the written traditions and the laws of man. You go to some of these pseudo whorehouses, they will harp on those kinds of things. Brother wrote me yesterday, Pastor Roberts, I want to know about drinking a little wine. A brother said to me, you do not use wine on Pesach. It is so absurd. The doctrines are so false. And I wrote my brother back and quoted Scripture, showed him what Scripture says. He said, thank you so much. It's good to have a pastor. You're my pastor at a distance, but it's good to have someone to instruct us. Yahweh ordained pastors after his heart. I don't care what these corrupt men say, they will feed you with knowledge and understanding. If you don't get that here, flee for yourself. Run. Run. Don't even step foot in a place like this. Not at all. We abide in him, we do not sin. Whosoever sin hath not seen him, neither do they know him. Now, when you sin willfully, when you transgress the Torah willingly, you don't know Yahweh. You haven't seen. There's no visibility of his hope in you. Now, these are not my words. These are not Shaul words. These words came by the power of the Ruah. Just like HaMashiach said, the words I speak, they're not mine, but the one that sent me. I speak what the Abba commands me. He says in verse 7, does he identify us? He sure he does. He said, little children now, is easily for little children to be deceived. Little Abner said yesterday, he said, Pastor Roberts is mean. I said, why am I mean, Abner? He said, I don't know. He said, but you're mean. That's okay. Come on, tell me why. He said, because you popped me one day. I said, all right. I said, is your daddy mean? No, sir. I said, is your mother mean? No, sir. I said, your dad ever pop you? No, sir. No, sir. I said, your mama never pop you? No, sir. I said, okay then. Pastor Robert is mean. Now, I use that analogy to let us see this, brothers and sisters. He said, little children, be not deceived. Little children, he calls us that, let no man deceive you. He that does the tzedakah, or the righteousness of Yahweh, is righteous, even as Yahweh is righteous. Now, what is righteous? Yahweh's righteousness is from everlasting to everlasting. And his Torah is the truth. So you cannot reject Torah and say you're walking in righteousness. I don't care how your pseudo-religious mindset has prepped you, that you think you have some righteous proclivity, but you have nothing at all without truth. That's why he said, I will not leave you alone. How much he was a living word of Yahweh, was he not? Scripture says in Yochanan, and the word was made flesh, and it dwelt among us. So here's the living word of Almighty Yahweh. He said to them, I cannot leave you comfortless. He had given them the word. He has sown something in them to reassure what was already written in them. He said, and when the Ruah comes, that I will pray to the Abba, he will send his spirit, his Ruah, that you will begin to bear fruit, because there will be a birth in you. If you go out and see a tree, and the tree needs pruning and cutting back, the tree doesn't look lively, you begin to tenderly take care of the tree, do you not? And all of a sudden, during the process of time, you began to see fruit and abundance of fruit and the beauty of fruit. Why? Because you have done the proper things to that tree. Is this word sharp and powerful? Is it a two-edged sword? Does it cut? Well, that's the process. That's what he does. That's what he did. He cut them. He pruned them. Though all men forsake you, I will not. Did they all turn and forsake him? Every last one of them. Every last one of them. But he knew what was there. He knew what he had done. He knew that Yahweh could not lie. He did not lose one of them. They could not be lost, because this was the house of Yisrael. He had ordained a people that would he would speak to. And he could not lose a one of them. And the word of Yahweh never loses. The true word. Not at all. He that commits sin, verse 8, he that continuously practice transgressing the Torah, transgressing the Torah of Yahweh, he that commits sin is of the devil, period. That's just it. You have the seed of darkness in you. You have been birthed by the power of hell. So when a man commits sin, when one practices sin, when one practices defiance of the Torah, and that is what these pseudo-religions teach today, the Baptists, the Methodists, the Pentecostals, the Catholics, they teach that today. They teach a defiance of Torah. Irreverent toward Torah. The Shabbat is a mockery today. You say what you want to because one get drunk on wine. No, that doesn't make him commit sin. He's not of the devil because of that. Because if you get a little glass of wine, as Shaul said to Timothy, I drink a little wine for your often infirmities of your belly. If you're not used to that, you get a little feeling there, don't you? Come on, brothers and sisters. You get a little feeling there. That's not a sin because a man does that. That's not corruption. But scripture says, whosoever practice this lawless attitude toward Torah is of the devil. I don't care if it's your grandpappy, your grandmama, sons, daughters. When one literally practices a defiant of the Torah, it's either Shaul spoke with the Ruah of Yahweh or he spoke with one of a manic, depressed, demonic man. I believe the first. He spoke by the Ruah. I don't believe the latter. So he tells us, Yahkahan. What Yahkahan says here? He said, whosoever commits sin, he that commits sin, verse 8, he says, of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose now, the Son of Yahweh was made now, and also manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now that is what the purpose of HaMashiach was. To destroy the devilish, devious things in our own lives. In our own of Him. We have things in us that we know that are not of Yahweh. We know that that spirit is not of Yahweh. He was manifested to do that. So when a man practices violating the Torah, he is of the devil. Period. When a man will not obey the Moeds and keep the Moeds of Yahweh, when you come to that truth, you can't defy it. You can't denounce it. And you practice not doing it. It's better to practice doing it in your limited understanding, even in all of your ignorance, than to practice not doing it. To whom much is given, much is required. So those that are given much will be judged much. And those that are judged less. So when he began to give you that, and open up your understanding, then you do it according to what you possess. But you don't defy, because when you defy, when you violate what he teaches you out of his book, out of his scroll, then you are of the devil. You are committing sin. You're transgressing the Torah. Of course, that will lead to all kinds of unclean things. Drunkenness. And drunkenness is only, actually, it is a corridor, an opening for spiritual powers that causes one's mind to turn away from Yahweh. When Yisrael was drunken, we see the drunkenness of this nation. They're drunken because of their sins and their corruption. That's all the drunkenness is. And the wine is the strong drinks, when they consume that, it is because they have this spirit of this corruption in them. Scripture tells us that the bishop's wife and the deacon's wife should not be given too much wine. She should not be drinking wine whereby she's walking like some frolicking Jezebel, stumbling in the street. It tells the bishop and the deacon not to be given too much wine. Don't drink it to become drunk. If a man sits down and have a little bit at his dinner table, it's no sin, brothers and sisters. These are the traditions of men. It's not of Yahweh. In the kingdom, we're going to drink the new wine. All right? It's not going to be made like this stuff these perverters make today. That's why it's good you. We get all these scuffernaughts and scufferdimes and make a little bit. It's all right to have some. Hallelujah, Yahweh. So he was manifest. He was made now manifest that he may destroy the works of the devil. Now this is where I want to get to. This is what I want to emphatically thrust in your heart today. Whosoever is born of Yahweh does not commit sin. Period. Whosoever is born of Yahweh, whosoever has that birth. Now, let me go back a little bit. Yisrael had the written laws of the Torah of Moshe, did they not? They will constantly sin. They will constantly. They will see what it says. They will go and commit things that were wrong because they did not have the staying power. They will come once a year. The high priest would offer up the great offering for their sins. Now we have a high Kohen after the order of Melchizedek that has entered into the Kodesh place once and once for all, and has offered up the permanent offering unto Yahweh. And not only that, but in that offering, he brought forth unto the people of Yahweh this liberation of life in them by the power and the visibility of whom Yahweh is. What is Yahweh? Is he a man like us? He is a Ruah. He is a spirit. And so he's brought that living power of his Ruah in us, brothers and sisters. So one that has the seed of Yahweh in them, those that are born of Yahweh, those that are born of Yahweh, those that have that rebirth of the Torah in them, they cannot. They will not sin against Yahweh. There's no willing to violate the Torah. There's no purpose in their life to violate the Torah. When one is willing to violate the Torah, they're not born of Yahweh. Brothers, we have all, that's why he said little children. And we are little children. I don't care if you get 99, you're still little children. I don't care what you think your expertise in is, your intellectual property, you're still a little child. He said little children. Don't let no man deceive you. Don't even let the hidden man of your heart deceive you. Let no man deceive you. When a man deceives you, when he removes you, and that is what the deception is today, brothers and sisters. Not one telling you to go commit adultery because they tell you that, they're transgressing the mitzvahs of Yahweh. Let no man deceive you. Don't let no man, don't even let the hidden man of your own heart, don't let that man deceive you to cause you to violate the Torah. Don't let your lustful, corrupt man, this fleshly man, cause you to violate the Torah. Listen, brothers and sisters, I want to say this emphatically. There are men that have jobs, there are women that have jobs, and the jobs create such a fear, they say, we will fire you unless you work on the Shabbat. And that is the deception, brothers and sisters. They actually think, and they literally think, that this is the life source of their homes, and that is not. It is Yahweh that gives life. It is Yahweh that gives you breath. It is Yahweh that calls the seeds of the ground to come forth. He is the one, brothers and sisters. You don't violate Yahweh's laws willingly. You know it's wrong. Then you are purposely sinning. And we know that he will manifest to take that fear out. The fear of death. The fear of sinning. The fear of condemnation to Israel. So little children, let no man deceive you. We trust in him. If man has fear, then he doesn't possess the love of Yahweh. Fear not what man can do to you. Fear not what the enemy can do. We don't fear that. Fear not him that is able to destroy your body, your flesh. But you fear him that can destroy both body and flesh and cast you into the darkness of the grave. That's what he said. So we must obey. So when a man knows truth, or one knows the truth, and they defy it, you are literally sinning. You're committing sin. You are transgressing. Well, that woman out there I saw with a beard, you are transgressing the Torah. I'm going to prove this now. Hallelujah, Yahweh. I know how the superficials, and I've been a part of that circle, in all ignorance, I didn't know. But as Yahweh's light began to be revealed, just one little shadow of truth at a time, I did not reject that. I held fast to it. In all of my life and my years, and I don't say that to make me look as though that I've been this Spartan person. When truth was revealed, it was something about it. It stayed with me. I couldn't turn it loose. Even though when I wrestled with it, I knew it was right. And I just could not reject it. And I've seen the path. And I know it's the path of Yahweh. I know it is. So let no man deceive you. Don't even let the hidden man of your heart deceive you. Let no man, little children, deceive you. You know that he that does righteousness is righteous, even as Yahweh is righteous. Well, is his Torah righteous? Because HaMashiach was the living, was HaMashiach the living word? Was he with the word made flesh? Well, is the Torah of Yahweh righteous? So he did not conjure up some kind of convoluted thought. He came with the living power of Yahweh's expression. Torah. His living word. It's in scripture. The next verse. Those that commit sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of Yahweh was made manifest, he might destroy the works of the enemy. Verse 9. Whosoever is born of Yahweh does not commit sin. Why? This is why. For his zira, his sperma, his seed remains in him, and he cannot. He cannot sin. Do you hear that, brothers and sisters? I don't care what this damnable wicked world tells you. He cannot sin. His seed. Well, what does this say? Listen now. His seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is what? Shallow! He's born of who? He's born of the flesh of Yahweh. He is born of Yahweh. He cannot sin. It's either this is an allegory or flat out lie based upon a false presumption. It's either truth. And we better get to the nuts and crannies of it and find out what he's telling us. We are lazy people. We like to sleep and eat. Fold our hands. That's why there's such poverty among us. That's why we're poor in our ruah. That's why our minds are just poor. With much folding of hand and much sleep, one comes to poverty. And we are not poor people, we are poverty. It's the difference between being poor and living in poverty. It is a vast difference being poor and living in poverty. Totally different. Totally. I'd rather be a poor man any day than living in poverty. By America's standards, we are poverty. We are poor. But this is not poverty. So a man just folds his hand, a little sleep, hear the word of Yahweh. They don't want to hear it, so they sleep on it. Then you will see poverty overtake them. And that's what has happened to this people today. I preach from you from the word, brothers and sisters. I speak to you the truth, the counsel of Yahweh. His seed, his zira, his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of Yahweh. Now, I want to stop there for a moment. I want to, in the Greek, in this Hellenistic mindset, Yahweh never intended for us to have a Hellenistic mindset. He intended for us to have the Hebraic mindset. That's how it was written in the Hebraic tongue. But even in the Greek vernacular, how it's enunciated, what it means, I like it. It is enunciated in the Greek vernacular, sperma. And we understand that. Sperma, sperm. With the word sperm, sperma. It's sperma. Now listen to this. The product of this semen, that's what it said, seed, children, offspring, prodigy, family, race, prosperity, this is vital here. Whatever possess vital force of life-giving power. Now, Yahweh has the power of life, his words. HaMashiach says, you continue my words, you're my disciples indeed. We shall know the truth. Truth makes us free. Why? Because his words that I speak unto you, they are ruah, spirit, and they are life. And they bring about a life-giving source. The words that he spoke unto us. And so I have no compunction with that Greek Hellenistic type of definition of that word, because it gives a great insight of what Yahweh speaks in Scripture. Whosoever is born of Yahweh now sins not. We must understand what his seed is, how this birth transforms us, and how this birth comes to pass. Now in the Hebraic, I want to use, because in the Scriptures I will use, it will denote both of the expressions. One is called zira. It is to become pregnant, to be made pregnant, producing. Is that not what a seed is? The woman received the sperma, The seed is implanted, fertilized, she becomes pregnant, and it produces. Is that so? We had to have something in us for the sperma to produce something. We had to have the word written, the Torah written there, in order when the sperma of the zira came, then we would produce life. It had to be something there. And I read that last week in Yeshkel, Ezekiel, how that he put his Torah in the heart of Israel. They will be baptized, they will be sprinkled. And that doesn't mean a little sprinkling out of the Methodist. It has a totally different connotation. It means an abundance, a wide place where the waters actually literally flow. Emerge, submerge. That's what it means. So he put something in us, he wrote something in us that had been almost dormant. There are certain forms of species, catfish and some species, they will lie dormant for years. And all of a sudden the rain comes and life begins to whoop. And so he has rained down the living water of the Shemayim, the living word. He had to bring alive what he had put there. Some seeds can lay dormant year after year. And all of a sudden the rain comes. And all of a sudden you begin to see the beauty of those seeds. That's how it works. Not by this wholesaling of the superficial type religion. It's wrong. It brings us into this unto this worship of harlotry. It is a harlotry mindset. It is a mindset of whoredom in the nations and the world today, especially in this one. Everything is about our own carnal flesh, isn't it? Say, help me, Yahweh. Everything is me, myself, personally, and me. It's not, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. We don't say that to Yahweh. That is lost out of our vernacular. If we suffer with him, we don't want to suffer. We shall reign with him. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but yet Yahweh delivers. We don't like those things. We are a now personal me, myself type mindset generation. The things of Yahweh have no value. They have no intrinsic value and they have no purpose. Our minds are so far removed, our minds on natural kind of things, our thoughts are so embellishing folly and foolishness. HaMashiach didn't practice that way. He didn't live that way. Not at all. So those that are born of Yahweh cannot commit sin. Look at this in verse 10. In this, the children, the Dibinah, the children of Yahweh are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever does not righteousness is not of Yahweh, neither he that love his brother. Now, do you understand that? It is one thing that the Torah teaches us, the righteousness of Yahweh. For his righteousness is from everlasting to everlasting. Now, the Torah teaches us to love our brother. HaMashiach said, I write no new commandment, actually. But he said to them, to love Yahweh with all, to love your neighbor as yourself, upon them hangs the whole Torah of Yahweh. So nothing has changed. From the beginning, from the Bereshit, it was that way. It has not changed. And don't tell me you love everyone. This hypocritical pseudo-nation, a pseudo-religious practice, they say, I love everyone. I will ask them, I say, tell you what, let's go out here on the streets. Let's find us a derelict that has his feces and the scent of feces on his body. He smells like urine. He has nowhere to stay. Bring him to your home. Bathe him. You know, the whole attitude change. Well, I just can't do that. You are a literal, vile hypocrite. He told you to love your neighbors as you love yourself. In order for you to love your neighbors, you got to get to know your neighbors and their things about your neighbor. That will show you things about you and you just don't like. And you and your neighbor will have some confrontations, will you not? Until you destroy the power of this whole stuff here. Hallelujah, Yahweh. So don't give me that damned of a lying trash. You love everybody. Go to the streets. You're not listening as well. You go to the street and find me a derelict. Bring them to your home. Bathe them. And then get out of your bed and put them in your bed. We'll find out what kind of love we have. It's superficial. It's not real. It's false. And these are those corruptors that teach the doctrine that way. And they will actually, they don't want someone like that to touch them. The pseudoism. There's one thing that the word Yahweh does, can I tell you? It always shows you your position. Let me show you how small you are. How you like it. And what you truly need in order to pull up. You say, what about like this preacher speaks? Folks don't like it. But that's all right. That's all right by me. You know what gives me my balance at all time? Can I tell you, you believe me? I know I'm going to leave this world one day. I'm going to die. This has to have some purpose in my heart. This has to have some great meaning to me. And believe me, if he lives as long as I live, and if I live as long as she is, he got more years than me. So I don't know my number, neither does he. But I know one thing, it behooves me to do what this book tells me. I can find life no other place but in this. So when one is truly born of Yahweh, he has his zira, his zara in him. I want to read this, the zara now. And in the expression, the Hebraic expression, I will use these two meanings. It is semen, virile, having the nature, property, the nature, properties of offsprings, descendants, children of moral quality, a practitioner of righteousness. And that is what it means. We must have the zira of Yahweh in us to be a practitioner of his righteousness. And if we do not have that seed in us, we cannot practice his righteousness. That's why we are a people that practice transgressing the Torah. You don't have to teach sons and daughters. I say, look at your son or any son. I use that as an analogy. I say, do you ever teach him to do wrong? He said, no, sir. Do you ever teach him to form bad habits? No. No daddy will do that. And yet there is that inherent type of corruption in all of us. Unless we have the righteous seed in us, we'll walk that way. So no father teaches his son to do wrong. No, he will not. Because of that old Adamic nature is there. That's why he gave us a law, a Torah, to bring that under subjection. That we will not have to live that way or walk that way. And not only that, he gave us a lively power from him. He put his Ruah in us. As the old folks would say, we will be all right if we just do what he says. So we know the children of Yahweh and the children of devil, of the enemy of Shaitan, whosoever does righteousness. You need the Torah in order to do righteousness. Now I want to reiterate one verse that I read last week in Kephar. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23. It says, being born again, not of the corrupt seed, but of the incorruptible by the words of Yahweh. That's what it says. Now the word of Yahweh is incorruptible, which lives and abides forever. Now the truth of Yahweh abides and it lives forever. He said, being born again, not being corrupt, but it is an incorruptible word. And you understand that when something is incorrupt or incorruptible, it has no ability to become, or to decay, to become corrupt. It has no ability. It cannot do. It cannot happen. It cannot. It cannot be corrupted. Period. The word of Yahweh cannot be corrupted. What is the strength of that? It's his Torah. It cannot be corrupted. The mitzvahs of Yahweh cannot be corrupted. They cannot, brothers and sisters. And we must be born. To be born of Yahweh is to have this zira, the sperma in us. And it produces, there are offsprings. What are the offsprings? The fruit of Yahweh. How much you say, when I come, there must be an abundance. The trees did not bear anything this year, did they? The peach trees. I thought it was something we did. Brother Dale informed me the other day. He was telling me, no, Brother Jermaine. He was telling me yesterday, he said, Pastor Roberts, he and Brother Dolph, there's a peach orchard that we pass. He said, and we passed that thing, there are no peaches there. Because we got a late frost this year, and really the trees were blooming beautifully. And then it just destroyed all the fruit. He said to us, they were telling us yesterday that there are no fruit on those trees at all. Now, that's why we need to pray that our flight would not be in the wintertime, on the Shabbat, brothers and sisters. He has given us a very lean time. He has given us opportunity to hear like never before in a generation whereby His truth has been profoundly opened up for Yisrael. And He expects that. That's what the sperma, the zira, the seed does. It produces that. And we're not born again of some corruptible seed. These people today get a happy-go feeling for a moment, and all of a sudden they're doing every kind of defiance there is to the Torah. You cannot defy the Torah. Christianity doesn't teach the profoundness of Yahweh's truth. I don't care what anyone says. And I've gone that road, so I do know. It must be a birth in us to understand what Yahweh requires of us. That's why we are like little children. That's why we are so easily deceived. And we think that, no, I've never been deceived. You are a liar. Because your own heart, the heart is deceitful above all things, and it is desperately wicked. You think the man deceived you. How that? It is your own heart that deceives you. Not someone else. It's just one thing I don't want to be. And that's bewitched. Foolish Galatians. Who have bewitched you? That you should not obey the truth. Thy Torah is the truth. When one is bewitched, it is a witchcraft spirit that removes them away because there's a practice of harlotry and removes them away from Yahweh. There's a difference between this, the zira of Yahweh and the seed of Shaitan. So we are born of this incorruptible seed. Scripture says in Lucas, now this is Luke chapter 8 verse 11. I want to move because I want to finish this today, all right? And you all be patient. Destroy the power of your corrupt flesh. It says in Luke chapter 8 verse 11. Lucas chapter 8 verse 11. I want you all to read that with me. Will you read that with me, please? Will you all get that? Say hallelujah away. It says in Lucas chapter 8 verse 11. Come on, let's read that. Now, the parable is what? This. The what? The what? The what? The seed, the sperma, the zirah, the zirah is what? It is the word of Yahweh. It is the word of Yahweh. It is the word of Yahweh. That is what the Tanakh, that is what the Torah consists of. You must understand that the Tanakh is an experience with Israel, the people of Yahweh, to give us an example of things we ought not to follow. Correct us. That is what it does, brothers and sisters. It is almost like a historical, and I don't like to use that expression, but it is an example unto us. We should not walk that way. So we know that the seed is the word of Yahweh. Is the word corrupt? The word of Yahweh is not corrupt. It cannot be corrupt. Is the Torah the word of Yahweh? Is the Torah the word of Yahweh? Would Hamashiach preach out of Yeshaya and Ezekiel, whatever book, Obadiah, he spoke of an experience with the people to show them because they have turned away from Torah. They rejected Torah, they defied Torah, and they were in every kind of egregious sin there is to practice. That's why this nation and this wicked, whorish world of churchianity does everything that is defiant, and they're blatant in their arrogance toward Yahweh. You don't need to keep the Shabbat. Lies! He said, remember it, and keep it Kodesh, for it is my time. He means what he says. If he doesn't mean that, I say it this way. That the one we think we know is a creator, that has given us words, and I'm careful to say this now, he is a flat out imposter. And one of the most hideous liars there is. He means what he says. And he wrote it so simple that even a fool, an ignorant, unintelligent man, like me, when he calls the life of his truth in one's heart to come alive, he will even know it. He can understand that. So that's why we're going to be without an excuse. There are those by nature obey the Torah of Yahweh. Even our forefathers, our grandparents, they may not have understood the power of the Torah, but they taught us Torah. They taught us discipline. Shit was. And it was based upon Torah. So we know that the seed is the word. Is the Torah the word? Is Mishli the word, the Proverbs? Is Tehillim the word? Is what Obadiah said the word? So what did Obadiah preach from? His preaching or the words that were inspired of him. Read every book in Scripture, you will see that everything, he dealt with the people that had turned away from Torah. Everything. That's why all these things are written for our example, our admonition, our learning, upon whom the end of the world has come. But everything they wrote, it was about a people that had rejected Torah, Yahweh dealing with them, showing them how to get them back, how to walk right before him. He did not go to the Hittites of the Jebusites. He went to Israel. Went to the house. The Lord sheep. I speak the truth to you, brothers and sisters. And I lie not to you. So we know that the seed is the word of Yahweh in this parable. Now turn quickly to Matthew, Matthew chapter 13, verse 37. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Matthew 13, 37. Habashiah answered them, and he said unto them, please hear this, because I'm such an ignorant man when I don't know things. I want to find out why these expressions used in Scripture, all right? I want to show you something here. Matthew 13:37, Matthew, it says, he answered and said unto them, he that sows the tough, good seed is the Son of Man. This is Habashiah, right? He sows the good seed. That's why he says, he said this in Scripture, the words I speak, they're not my word, but the words he sent, but the one that sent me. Now those that were of the true house of Israel, do you hear me? They had something written in their left, because I read it, and I will read it again this week. They had something in them, a seed, and what he did, he spoke to the effect of what was in them. That's what he did. It is almost like someone understanding algebra. They haven't done it in a long time. You out of school a long time. Then once someone began to show you the principles again, it's almost like a resurrection. It comes alive in you, doesn't it? And you say, oh, that's what it is. And you began to say, I got it now. I got it. And the more you get it, the more you go, the more you say, oh, that's all right. I got that. And that's what the power of this life does now. So he began to speak this unto them. He that soweth the tough seed is the Son of Habashiah, is the Son of Man. He said, the field, now listen, the field is the world. That's what the field is, the world. The tough seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is Shaitan, the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the Malach of Yahweh. Now, why did this take place? Why the tares sown in the midst? I will show you, but I want you to understand what this word tare is. It is pronounced in the Aramaic language, or they call it Zuwa. But I did a little reading on the tare. I know what we have heard about the tare. I've said it just like what I've heard other men say. We know it's just like the wheat, but there's a greater implication to the tare. I will read this. Not my writing, but it is how it is defined and what it does. It says that this Zohan, the tear, it is called in the Aramaic tongue. If it is sown throughout the field, it is inseparable from the wheat. Now hear this. From which even when growing naturally, and by chance it may just, because seeds have gone, been blown or transmitted by birds or some prey. But by chance, when it grows naturally, they are at first sight hardly distinguishable. You cannot tell them, period. Almost a common copy. But there's a catch to it. It says this, even the Arabic farmers, who in this country or their country generally weed out their fields. Listen now, do not attempt to separate the one from the other. Listen to this. The grain of this tare, and it is called the laludium to medium, if it is eaten, it produces, listen now, it produces convulsion and even death. Now that's what this tare religion and the pseudo-type practice has done today. This convulsion. People go into convulsion and they die, and the power of the Torah, there's no living life of Torah in them. No whatsoever. Now, it's the reason why that has been sown. The seed is the children of the Binah of Yahweh, for we have the living seed in us. The tare, they are the children of hell. They have sown the tare. The one that has sown the tare is the enemy of Torah. The enemy has sown his tares in every kind of religion, and they are killing the people. There's no life in them. There's no love for Yahweh. There's no love. You must love Yahweh with all your heart, soul, mind, all your strength. You must love your neighbor as you love yourself. You must do that. And upon them hinges the whole Torah of Yahweh. And so this poisonous tear, these tares have been sown, and they're almost indistinguishable. They look just like the real deal. They act like it. They talk like it. They walk like it, but it's pseudo. And they're full of death. Convulsions is what the tear causes. Cause when they get sickly, lose their mind, turn their minds away from Yahweh. Well, I don't believe it's that way. You don't have to believe it's that way. It's that way in the book, though. It's that way. He says in the same chapter, verse 24, I want to look back, chapter 13, I want to drop back to verse 24 now. Listen to this. This is how this seed has become very prolific today. Matitiyah, chapter 13, 24, Matthew's. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of the Shemayim is like unto a man, a likened unto a man that sowed tough seed in his field. He's given us an example of this kingdom work in us. It's like a man going to his fields, a man that he sowed tub or good seeds in his field. It says in verse 25, but while men slept. See, this is a sleeping generation. It has come to poverty. Sleeping. They fold their hands. They know it's wrong. That's why in this pseudo abominable vile trust today, they can ordain faggots as and these foul things as bishops. They just ordained this Jezebel woman over here, the Anglicans assembly, to be the bishop over Yahweh. A woman can never be a bishop. She can never take authority over a man. I saw the Shalom Observer this morning. They got this Jezebel fingernails painted up like some harlot out of hell. And she got these effeminate looking men. She's supposed to be the pastor. What an abominable, damnable trash. He made the man, and Yahweh is the head of Hamashiach. Hamashiach is the head of man, and man is the head of woman. He meant what he said. He ain't changing that for nobody. Woman has no place to usurp authority and to bind a man. I kill a Jezebel like that. Take the sword of the Ruah of Yahweh. It's out of Yahweh. So these tares have been sown. And they're killing the people. They're destroying them. And even Israel is falling for that trash. They're giving over unto this pseudo-type practice. Because what Yahweh requires is all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, or all your being. He wants the whole body. What wife wants a husband just for some physical emotion? She wants his heart, doesn't she? She wants his mind. She wants every aspect of him. Isn't that so? She wants to share in the moment. She wants the emotion. She wants the expressions. Come on, if she doesn't want that, she's a dead thing. And if he doesn't want that, then he's a fool of a man. Truth.